trying to fathom the distance, looking out toward the canyon carved by my hand. God is gracious, sin will still separate us, were it not for the bridge His grace has made us. His love will carry me. There's a bridge to cross the great divide. A way was made to reach the other side. The mercy of the Father cost His Son His life. His love is deep, His love is wide. There is a bridge to cross the great divide. God is faithful, on my own I'm unable. He found me hopeless, alone, and sent a Savior. He's provided a path and promise to guide us safely past all the sin that would divide us. His love delivers me. There's a bridge to cross the great divide. A way was made to reach the other side. The mercy of the Father cost His Son His life. His love is deep, His love is wide. There is a cross to bridge the great divide. The cross that cost my Lord His life has given me mine. There's a bridge to cross the great divide. A way was made to reach the other side. The mercy of the Father cost His Son His life. His love is deep, His love is wide. There is a cross to bridge the great divide. There is a bridge to cross the great divide.
Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I have my family stand. Of course, Pastor recognized my name already. It's Jason. My wife's name is Anna. We have five children. Our oldest is Libby. And then our son Titus is not here. He's down south working, preparing to come to college next year. And then we have Ruth is 15, and Joy is almost 10, and David is 2. He's big for 2. Just kidding, he's 8. All right, sorry. Telling lies, thank you very much. My family and I have been missionaries in Papua New Guinea for the past 15 or so years. God saved me when I was 14. I went to camp in 1990, and won't get on the whole story, but I received Christ as my Savior in August of 1990. God called me to preach a couple years later after that in 1992. Matter of fact, it was March the 3rd, 1992. I went to Papua New Guinea for the first time in June of 1994. I just graduated from high school, went for 2 months to the mission field just to try to be a help to a missionary. I didn't go because I was called. I just went to try to cut the grass, clean the windows, do whatever. And as a result of that, God tugged on my heart and said, what about missions? And in March, matter of fact, March the 25th, March the 3rd, 1995 is when God called me to Papua New Guinea. March the 25th, 1992 is when God called me to preach. Tomorrow is my anniversary. Amen. It was on a midweek service. Thankful to be in church on a midweek. Anyways, we've been in New Guinea since 2000. We've been in two different locations there. You'll see in the video a little bit. First off, we're on a little island called Daru. Daru is about 2 miles in diameter with about 20, 25,000 people that live there now. A lot of people on that little dot, and God's given us a good ministry there. We're able to turn that work over in 2005. We went on to the mainland, just about 60 kilometers away, established a church there in a village area called Weeping through the Bible school. Now one of the men is one of our graduates is pastoring there. We have 7 men who are pastoring out of the Bible school graduates today, gone out and started churches and pastoring today. It's exciting. We're back on the island of Daru again and hope to turn that work over once again in hopefully another year or so. We're going to take a trip to New Guinea in just a moment, but before we do, I'd like to maybe answer a query that you may have. Why do missionaries show videos? I want you to help me illustrate that, okay? Everybody get your right hand up. Promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? All right, good. Everybody put your finger just like that, like you're saying A-OK. Go ahead, A-OK. I didn't hear everybody. Come on, A-OK.
A-OK.
Okay, we're all together now. Why do missionaries show videos? This is why. Now take this shape and put it on your chin. How many of you put it on your chin? We are going to have a good time tonight, whether you like it or not. How many of you had a neighbor that did like this? All right. What's the big idea? Jeremiah said, mine eye affecteth my what?
Heart.
Heart. You know, more people are influenced by what they see than what they hear. Is that about right?
Yeah.
It's about right. Yeah. That's why we want to take you to New Guinea by way of video. You'll get to experience the sights and the sounds. For many of you coming from Asia, it'll kind of seem familiar, all right? You won't have to have the humidity, though. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Yes.
All right. Humidity is like just a warm blanket that just makes you feel so comfortable. What are you laughing at? But anyways, let's go to New Guinea for a minute. Can we kill these lights here? Is that all right? All right. God bless you as you come to New Guinea with us for just a few minutes.
Thy will and not my will be done. My heart be ever thine. Confessing thee, the mighty word, my Saviour Christ, my God, my Lord, thy cross shall be my sign.
So it's been my belief that my ministry of church planting, my focus is on the Bible school, training these men to do what I do, to be who I am. I think that's what Jesus did. He chose 12 to reproduce himself, if you would. And he said, greater works shall ye do because I go unto my Father. And it is my philosophy, maybe you could say it that way, that these Bible school men are the best avenue to indeed reach these places and people.
All my life I've lived a life that was miserable life I lived, and a life was not good in God's eyes, and I was a man who mobilized some groups in doing bad things, and I was one of those guys who was a leader in the area. And there was a revival meeting held at Wheaton Baptist Church. I attended that revival meeting, and as soon as the preaching came on, it was like the preaching was only for myself. I was thinking, that preacher, you better stop preaching right now. I called for invitations for me to come up. So he did that, and I was able to accept Christ as my personal Savior. And from that time, God took me for Bible school. I don't know how I got there, but there was applications given out by Brother Jason, and then I was one of them to see one, and I just put my name in. I rest a lot of things from Bible school, and that's where I would do. That's where I came to know God personally, and God gave me a fire in my heart where I was able to go out and win others, just as someone wanted me to Christ.
Oftentimes they'll ask me, are people receptive there to the gospel? And I'll say, yeah, people are indeed receptive to the gospel, but they're hardened just like they are in any other place. Sin is the great deceptor. Sin deceives the heart of people to think that everything's okay, nothing's wrong with them. They'll get everything sorted out in the end. So our people are just like that. In the village side and weeping, just looking at us, people would stare. Actually, when we built our house in the evening time, people would come sit out on the road and they would just stare at us, look in our house and see what we were doing. And well, the gospel work was seriously difficult to break through, not only the culture, but of course the language. Well, we began to preach and teach, and after some time we saw a few saved. And you know, we got there in 2005, but we didn't baptize our first convert. I think it was until late 2007. When we built our building, we built it to seat 300. We built it because there are 300 people in our area, and I want every one of them to know the Lord, and I want every one of them to have a place at Weeping Baptist Church.
When we went to Daru, the people really were very quick to, you know, open to us. Things moved very quickly. The church grew quickly. A lot of people got saved. It was, what we say, ministry.
Everything you do takes, I think, extra labor. It's not like you just jump in a car and go to the store. When we need a 2x4, I have to make a deal with the landowner. We'll go out there, chop the tree down with a chainsaw, bring the sawmill out with our tractor, and then mill the tree up, and not just get one 4x2, but maybe get 100 4x2s. And that's what we do to build. You know, missionaries are sometimes given unique opportunities based upon the places and the environment in which we serve and the needs of our people. One of those special needs in our area is regular clean water. For us, if it doesn't rain, we do not have clean water for drinking. And I researched purchasing a small bore water drilling machine. We have now drilled 13 bores in Daru and Weeping, supplying clean water to thousands. Mission work is a very physical work. We use chainsaws, sawmills, our physical strength. We sweat. It takes a lot of hard work to do the work of the ministry.
Well, the verse we use on our presentations and on our letterhead is out of Thessalonians, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified with us as it is with you. We need the Word of God to have free course here. It's a spiritual battle. So we need you to pray for us. And you know what? We really appreciate hearing that that you do. We have some supporting churches that send us a card every month with signatures of people who have prayed for us that month. And we appreciate that. At times we do feel like we're forgotten, and so when we get those mails, it picks us up. And you were here when we received mail, and you saw my family was surrounding that box, and it didn't matter what was in it, but just the idea. When I would go to the post office in Daru,
with the key, I'd open the box, and if I see something inside, we'd sing the song, Somebody Loves Me. And so now Anna, on her Gmail account, whenever Gmail goes off, that's what it says, Somebody Loves Me. And so we like to know that we're remembered.
This? Absolutely.
All right, brother, if you could get that other one going up there. We've enjoyed being missionaries in New Guinea. It is a lot of hard work, that is for sure. And I'm probably a good 20, 25 pounds heavier than I was 10 months ago. And I'm looking forward to the reduction program once again. But I'm telling you, I've also enjoyed, I don't enjoy changing trouser sizes, but I have enjoyed the process, you know, what's been involved in getting there. All right. Hey, wow, I'm on there. Look out. All right. If you open your Bible with me tonight, the book of Luke, chapter number 19. Luke, chapter number 19. I'm going to need a little help this evening. I'll ask for some volunteers in a little bit. If I don't get any volunteers, then I'll get some voluntolds, okay? I'm just going to see if this will work, and it did work. Good. Praise the Lord. It's going to work out for us. All right. Luke chapter 19. I'm going to try to use a little technology to help me preach theology tonight. I hope you don't find me as a compromiser for doing that. We're going to be okay? All right. Luke chapter 19. It's an honor to be able to preach here. You are a well-known congregation. And famous around our country. And it's an honor to be here and a double honor to be able to speak here. And God bless you for your labor. And that's why you're known, for your labor. Work and labor of love for his sake. Luke chapter number 19, are we there? Give the Baptist sign. That's the Baptist sign, all right? Are we all there? All right, good. We're all on the same page. Here we go, Luke 19. We'll begin in verse number 11. The Bible says, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up, thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound and give it to him that had 10 pounds. All right, I need your help right here, okay? We're going to get into verse number 25. It says, And they said unto him, I want everybody to take your right hand once again. Get your pinchers ready. I want you to pinch your nose. And then we're going to say this statement. Okay, ready? Here we go. Ready? Your nose is pinched. Here we go.
Lord, he had 10 pounds.
A little whiny. All right. A little whiny there. For I say unto you, that unto everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And let's pray once more tonight. Father, it's an honor to be able to speak your word. It's an honor to stand before these, your people. God, but all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And God, I ask that you'd anoint this message. I believe you've given it to me. And God, you've told me to give it here tonight. God, it's Resurrection Sunday coming up. Lord, these many years ago, you were in that grave at this hour. And God, but we had a promise that you would rise again, and you did. And God, this is a great weekend. Some will be saved as a result of what takes place between now and Sunday. God, I pray that you would challenge us from this passage here tonight to occupy till you come. I pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Jesus has just restored sight to a blind man in chapter number 18. You might know him as Blind Bartimaeus. My kids affectionately call me Blind Bartimaeus, all right? It could be right in front of me and I will not see it. Maybe it's typical male problem, I'm not sure. But it happens often. But anyways, there was a blind man that Jesus had restored the sight to in chapter number 18. Here in chapter 19, verses 1 through 10 is a familiar story. It's about a very little man. A very little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm coming to your house for tea. All right, that's what he said. It's in the Greek, all right. Coming to your house for tea. Anyways, he restores the sight to this blind man in chapter number 18. In chapter number 19, he receives faith from a publican. If you know your Bible a little bit, you'll know that publicans were the offscouring of the earth. The Jews hated these guys. They hated them because they were Jewish people for the most part, Jewish men working for the Roman government, taking money from Jewish people and giving it to the Roman government, and but not giving it all, a lot of it they were putting in their pocket and padding their pocket and building themselves nice houses and gloating and all that. So the Jews hated these guys. Tax collectors, IRS, abolish. All right. Never mind. But to help them, as a result of what they've seen right here, they've seen this blind man receive sight. They see a publican receive faith. They see a publican receive faith. They thought, man, this is it. This is the Messiah. There's no doubt about it. Who else would do things like this? Let's anoint him. Let's make him king. Let's take him to Jerusalem. Here's our Messiah. But in order to help them understand what was really about to happen, he gives them this parable. You know that a parable is simply an earthly story with a, boy, somehow we Baptists get that really well. I wish we can get everything really well, but we got that one. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. To help us understand the passage, if you're going to write notes, this is what I want you to write. Inside of our text, that there are three main characters. Three main characters. The first main character will be the nobleman. The nobleman is Jesus Christ himself. Any doubt about that? No doubt about that. Jesus Christ himself will be the nobleman. The second main character would be the 10 servants. The 10 servants would be us, or those who choose to follow him. I'll say it again. Those who choose to follow him. He calls his servants and they come unto him. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life. And he puts them in the hand and they'll never perish. You got the idea. His 10 servants, they would be likened unto us, those who choose to follow him. The third group are his citizens. His citizens are the Jews or the religious ones. These folks, hear me carefully. You may be one of them here tonight. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. The Jews would be his citizens. The other group you could liken, put in really in that third group right there, are his enemies. His enemies are specifically those Jews who rejected him. There's another group we're not going to really talk about, frankly, because I don't exactly know who they are, is at the bottom of the passage there, them that stood by. That could be the world looking on. Maybe it could be the other seven that are not mentioned later on. Not exactly who that is. But we're going to focus on the nobleman, the 10 servants, and his citizens tonight. There are three main characters, and there are two main themes. The first main theme would be that of the pounds. The pounds would be representative of opportunities for service. You thinking about that for a minute? He gives these pounds. The pound is distributed equally to all and is therefore representative of what all of us have. The pounds are opportunities for service. They're something that all of us have. We all have this in common. Let's do a test to make sure that we're all in common, okay? Suppose we pretend that we went to a doctor's office. You go to the doctor's office, and they're going to put a periscope on your back. Is that right? Huh? Stethoscope. All right, just checking. You're listening here. They put a stethoscope on your back, and when they put it on your back, then they ask you to do what? Cough or breathe. Let's do that together. Here we go. Ready? It's getting warmer. One more time. They always say that. One more time. All right. So what do all of us have in common here tonight? We're all breathing, which means we're all what? Alive. There we go. We're all alive, which means we all have an opportunity to serve him. Because once you're dead, you're dead. Yeah. Amen. What is it? Ecclesiastes. Man, I got to get this memorized. Ecclesiastes, what is it? Chapter 9, verse number 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, amen. You know it? Do it with thy might. Yes, Ecclesiastes 9:10. Do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Hey, if you're going to do anything for God, this is the time to do it. Amen. You don't know that tomorrow is going to come, but you do know you're alive right now. Amen? Amen? So the pounds are opportunities for service. The second main theme right there is rewards. The rewards are given out for faithfulness. Rewards are given out for faithfulness, and you'll see later on that's cities, okay? Now, we're going to get to an assignment here, but I need, let me go ahead and get 10 volunteers tonight. 10, it could be men, women, boys, girls, whatever. 10. Why don't you come on right up here if you would? You can jump up if you know how to jump. Don't split your trousers. That'll be embarrassing. All right, 10. We got 1, 2, 3. Okay, come on. You're all right. 4, 5, 6, 7. Got a couple more? 3 more? 8? Okay, let me tell you, there's money involved. Okay, 9? All right, got one more. Do we have 10 up here? Somebody count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Come on up to the Price is Right. All right, 10. All right, 10. All right, now we're going to look at this thing here. We got an assignment going on here. All right, good. It's really tiny there. All right, here we go. We've got an assignment going on here. You can take a look at this. Something like this. Turn around. Look at the screen there. Good. Otherwise, you're not going to know the assignment, and you're going to be embarrassed. All right. Here's the assignment. The master, he has got his 10 servants. He's called his 10 servants unto him, and he kind of gives them this charge. He says something like this. He says, I'm going to be gone for an undisclosed amount of time. While I am gone, he says, I don't want you just sitting around waiting for the time that I will come again. He says, I want you to be busy. Busy doing something with what I will give you. Hey, I have a very special gift for each of you. And he says, here it is. Now, let me go ahead and give this very special gift to each of you. All right, Mr. Pritchard here. Pritchard, there we go. Got one. What's this? Who's this on here? George Washington here. All right, good. All right. Our Bible was translated in England. They use pounds. We're here in America. We're going to use dollars, okay? All right. There we go. All right. I notice there's no ladies up here. They didn't want any more pounds. All right. Got it. Not volunteering for that. All right. All right. With that, he says this. Each of you has different talents. You have different abilities. He says, I want you to do your best with what I've given you. And when I return, he says, I will reward each of you accordingly. Hear me carefully now. With that, the nobleman was gone. Who's the nobleman? The Lord Jesus Christ. With that, he was gone. He expects them to do their best with what he's given them. Amen. The Bible teaches us that Jesus will return, having received authority to reign on earth from his Father. You check it out later on, Daniel chapter number 7. So after the rapture, before he begins to reign, he will call his servants to give an account of their stewardship. He wants to know, what did you do with what I've given you? Now tonight, what has he given all of us? He's given us all life. Life, liberty, he's just given us life, all right? He's given us all life. We've all got the same thing. So he's gone away. He's going to come again. And when he comes back, he's going to have us stand up and give an account of what we've done with our life. Verse number 15 in our text says this, "And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading." I need, I'm minus one thing here tonight. Any ladies, you've got a tissue. Not one you've already used, all right? A blank one. I just need a tissue. Have you got a tissue? All right, this came from, where does this come from? Jack in the Box? Chipotle. Okay, we'll use that. All right, that'll be perfect. I'm just going to go ahead and lay this down right here. Bang. All right. Now, gentlemen, inside the auditorium here tonight, there is a $10 bill and there is a $5 bill. How many of you are in college? Would that be a blessing tonight? You can go have a hot dog, hamburger, whatever, Chipotle. All right. Anyway, there's a $10 bill and a $5 bill. It's underneath something. It is your job to find it. Once you find, whoever finds the 10, you go ahead and bring that 10 right up here, and you just stand with me up here. You find the 5, you come right up here. After the 10 or 5 are found, if you didn't find anything, I want you to come up and get this one napkin. If you find this one napkin, I want you to come up here and stand with me, all right? So there's going to be 3 people standing up here with me when we're all said and done here, okay? So I got the assignment. He says, I want you to be busy. Busy doing something with what I've given you. I've given you something right there. He says, now go out. And I want to see how much you'll gain by trading. Inside this auditorium, there is a $10 bill and a what? It's up to you. You can find it. Go ahead. While you go, I'm going to try to tell a story. All right? Take off. It's a very smart guy right there. Look at him. That was real intelligent. Good job. A 10 and a 5. As soon as you find it, you come right up here. Are we okay? All right. Now, if you can, you try to pay attention this way while they're looking, okay? I know it's going to be hard. All right. God has given us, hear me now, God has given us, woo, buddy, look at this man. All right, he's got the 5 already. Come on down. All right, boy, we're making money here. Good job, man. Woo, good. All right, I'll try to tell my story here, okay? All right, did you find it? No, you haven't found it. Okay, hey, hear me. I believe God, we all know this, that God has given us something great to do for him. I don't know how I'm going to get through this story. Do you believe this? That to whom, well, you know it because it's in the Bible. To whom much is given, much is what? Required. Oh, Pacific Baptist, God has blessed you. You are in a church that has challenged you to get out and do your best for the Lord Jesus, that you might have a crown to cast at his feet. And because of where you are you hearing me now tonight? Hey, don't mess up the screen. Hey, oh. Because of where you are, hear me, because of where you are, where God has placed you, boy, you have a high responsibility. Let me back up and tell my story, okay? I told you I got saved in 1990. I got saved in the month of August. Hey, not under there. After I got saved in August of 1990, I got baptized in October. As soon as I got baptized, a man came to me in the bus ministry. His name was Ray Sauter, bus captain of bus route number 4. He came to me and invited me to work on his bus route. Man, I didn't know what a bus route was at that time. I had just got saved. I just got right by getting baptized. And now he wants me to join a bus route. What am I going to do? He says, you don't have to do much. I just want you to run to that door, knock on the door, get that kid out of the house, get him dressed, whatever. Get him out of that house. Get him on the bus. Oh, okay. I can do that. I was 14 years old. I'll do that. 15, somewhere around there. So I did that. After a little while, he gave me some more responsibility. I started writing down the names. Keep on looking, guys. It's under something. I promise you. I put it there myself. Do your best. Let me give you a hint, though. It's not up here. It's back there, all right? It's back there somewhere. All right. So I started writing down names on the bus route. Boy, I started getting a burden on that bus route. And on Saturdays, instead of going teen soul winning, you do what your pastor tells you to do in this regard, okay? But instead of going teen soul winning, did you find it? Hey, he's got it right here. All right. And you got the napkin. All right. The rest of you have got your $1. That's your gift. God bless you. You can keep your $1. All right. Hey, from $1 comes a million. So, hey, don't discredit the one. All right. All right. So anyways, I started working on that bus route. He gave me more responsibility. I got a burden. I canceled going to teen soul winning. I just wanted to go on the bus route with the bus captain. Boy, I enjoyed seeing fruit, man. I got to knock on doors. People started coming to church. Young people started getting saved. Man, this is the thing to do right here. Get on the bus route. Well, after a few years of that, I think I was, 18, 19 years old? 18 years, yeah, about 18, 19, something like that. Our bus captain, or bus director, Brother Chris Durger, invited me to be a bus captain. There was an opening on bus route number 7, the very best bus, all right? Bus route number 7, and he invited me to become a bus captain. And with fear and trembling, I accepted because he asked me, okay, I'll do that. And boy, I've got my own bus. I've got a bus captain hat. Boy, we were like in the Navy. We had all the mustard greens or whatever those things are up there. Scrambled eggs. That's not mustard. Scrambled eggs. I had those things on because I was the captain of this bus route, bus number 7, the very best bus. You getting that idea yet? All right, bus number 7.
Very best bus.
All right, you get a little slow, but you'll get it again later on. All right, so I started working on bus route number 7.
Very best bus.
Thank you. And I started looking around, and the only workers I had were teenagers. The only adult, hello, on our bus was the bus driver. And so we named ourselves, or we were named, either one of the two, we named ourselves the Teenage Soul Patrol. Amen? Amen? And boy, we were trying to get after it. One year, 1994, every year we have a big day around November time, kind of like a harvest thing, and a big day in 1994 in the month of November. And 8 weeks prior to that, really probably 10 weeks prior to that, maybe more than that, our bus director, Brother Sturger, got all of us captains together. He says, guys, we're going to have a big day. I want you to be praying about what God would have you to have on that big day. And boy, I took that serious. I had never been in one of those meetings before. I was always the helper. I had no idea about that meeting. So, boy, I took that serious. I started praying. Hello, I started fasting about, God, what would you have us to have on that big day? I felt the pressure. Hey, there will be people, boys and girls, moms and dads, that will ride the bus on that big day and get born again as a result of Lord, a vision that you may give me. And God, if I don't get the vision you want me to have, there may be people that will go to hell because I didn't have a proper vision. Are you hearing me tonight? Boy, I prayed about that thing. Hear me. God told me to make a goal of having 500 on our bus route. You know, up till that time, no one had ever had 500. No one even shot for 500. And so when the day came for all the captains to announce their goal in the bus meeting, bus number 1 stood up. Hey, I believe God will have us to have 300. Boy, everybody said, praise the Lord, glory to God, amen. Boy, it was exciting. Bus number 2, something like that, 3, 4, 5, 6. And here comes the young kid, all right, the new guy. I stand up and say, Brother Sturger, I believe God would have us to have 500. Do you know nobody said amen? No one said praise the Lord. There are a few, oh, man, what an arrogant guy. Come on, what's wrong with this guy? My bus workers, they were there sitting with me on that row. What are we doing? We can't do this. And bus number nine gave theirs, 10, 11, 12, and so forth. And boy, we all divided up after the meeting. All my workers are saying, Jason, what are you doing? We're going to be embarrassed. Everyone's going to laugh at us. Everybody's going to make their goal, and we're not going to make our goal. What are you doing? I said, calm down. God's given me a vision.
Amen.
This is what God gave me. He gave me 4 four-letter words that we can say in church. Amen? I said, number 1 thing we're going to do to reach our goal. I said, we're going to pray. We're going to have special prayer times as a bus route. We're going to pray. Number 2, we're going to fast. Fasting is a big thing taught at our church down in San Diego. We're going to fast about this. Even as teenagers, we're going to fast. We're going to pray. We're going to fast. Hey, our church gave us a little bit of pocket money to lead up for the big day. But I said, it's not going to be enough if we're going to have that big number. We're going to have to give. We're going to have to give. G-I-V-E. Give, okay? We're going to have to pray, fast, give. And the 4th 4-letter word, boy, teenagers don't like this word, but we're going to have to what? Wow. Did you hear that? They all knew it. We're going to have to work. If we're going to reach that goal, we're going to have to work. Work, for the night is coming. We're going to have to work for this thing. Let me tell you this, folks. Hear me carefully. On November 12th or something like that, 1994, God gave us 556 on our bus route.
Amen.
There was another bus route. Bus number 3 had 516 that day. That day on our buses, we had over 3,000 just come on the buses. We'd never had a day like that before. We've never had a day like that since. It was a special day. I don't say that to lift myself up. I say that to say, hey, God's allowed me to see some big things. And because he's allowed me to see big things, I believe God requires of me, he requires of us big things. Because we know God can. It's not can God, but hey, can God? No, God can. God can. We went to New Guinea. Boy, God's given me a vision. Boy, I've got this little body of believers there on the island of Daru. And boy, I've done big days before. We're going to have a big day. We decided we're going to have a family photo day. Huh? Sounds like a bus route? All right. We're going to have a family photo day. Just thought I'd try it. Couldn't believe it. First year of our ministry, we had over 400 on our big day in August. I think it was August 4th, 2001. Over 400. We were only running like 50, 75, somewhere around there. Boy, awesome day. I had prepared that day to have a Sunday school time as normal because I didn't expect there to be a whole lot of people come. Boy, in Sunday school, we were packed out. I said, man, I got to change my message. I taught a salvation message. We had 12 saved in Sunday school. Come on. Boy, it was amazing. What a kickoff. God's given us a job to do. All right, let's get back to the message here. We've got these guys. We've got one with 10. Where's the 10? All right, why don't you stand right there? 5, you over here. You with the napkin, you're going to be on the side. Oh, I'm glad it was you. Oh, okay, good. You're a missionary kid. All right, good. We got the assignment. God's given us a job to do, but there's going to come a time when it's time to give an account. Time to give an account. The first servant comes up. You're the first servant. Step forward just a little bit. He calls his first servant in verse number 16. Are you there with me in your Bible? Give the Baptist sign. Verse number 16, it says, then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Okay, you're the first, all right? What did you say? All right. The Lord's, then came the, let's do verse 15. Let's start in verse number 15. Here we go. Came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first saying,
Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds.
You don't sound very excited about this. Can you try that again? I mean, you're standing before the King of Kings. He gave you one, and now you're presenting him 10. All right, let's do this again. Then came the first saying,
Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds.
All right, I guess we'll take that, okay, because time is running. All right, time wasn't running, we'd have a drama lesson here, okay? Anyways, boy, he comes before the judgment seat of Christ and says, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Boy, he's excited. The Lord is excited. The Lord is proud of this first servant. Why? Because he faithfully fulfilled his responsibility. He has gained not 100 times, not 100%, but rather, what kind of increase did he get? What kind of increase is this? Huh? 1,000%. You see, if he'd come back with one, that'd be 100% increase. If you come back with two, that'd be 200%. He got 1,000% increase. Hey, if you're one person that invests in the market, hey, if you found something to invest in that would bring you 1,000, you'd be pretty excited. You'd sell the house, the dog, the wife, the kids, whatever. Man, you'd want to put it all on that one. Boy, the Lord's excited about this. He considered the very little that he was given and the great plenty that he now received. And the master decided to reward the faithful servant accordingly. He says, man, I'm going to give you something more to do for me. He says, thou hast been faithful. Have thou authority over 10 cities. Check that out. Do you have authority over any cities right now? None. Do you know anywhere in the world that you'd like to be the boss? Can you name a few places?
Why don't you try?
Geography lesson.
I'm content where I'm at.
No, you're not content. Smack you. Shame on you. You're ruining the message. Let's give him a few cities. Let's throw him out of the U.S. and put him in Moscow. Huh? You think that'd be a good place for him, Moscow? Let's go ahead and throw him a little further. How about Beijing? Huh? Think he could handle Beijing? I mean, okay, let's come back to the States. New York. How many millions of people there? Heaps. Mexico City. I mean, you just start naming them. The idea is this. You think about this guy, God gave him one. He came back with 10, and God says, I'm going to reward you with 10 cities. You think a young guy like this could handle that? You look at him and say, not a chance, buddy. He cannot even name 10 cities. But God says, hey, I see something special here. I see something special here.
Yes, sir.
And God says, you've been faithful. Have that authority over 10 cities. Why don't you step back for a minute? We got the second servant. Here he is, man. Look at this guy. Where are his parents? Where is this guy at? All right, good. Hey, good-looking kid here. Huh? And he knows it. All right. Verse number 18, we've got the second servant. He says, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. Can you handle that? Lord. All right, here we go.
Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds.
Man, you sounded excited right there. You want his 10 instead? All right. The second servant, hear me again. The second servant had also been faithful, but he had only earned 500% return on the master's investment. Hey, he did not receive as much praise as the first servant, nor as much reward as the first servant, but his reward, hear me, was equal to that of his service. His reward was equal to that of his service. Will you have anything to receive from your Lord? Will you have anything to give to your Lord on that day? How is your service? We are working for the night is coming, amen? We know that he is coming one day. Will we have anything to offer back our dear Savior? The Lord once again says, boy, you've been faithful. Have thou authority over 5 cities. Can you name a few places? Huh, you like this guy. Bad example. All right, I'll leave you off the hook for right now. I believe this shows us that rewards will vary depending upon our effectiveness. That tells me as a preacher, you cannot rely, if you've got any ability, you better not rely on it. Because God knows what he has gifted you with. God knows what is possible. Amen? You've got to do your best while the best can be given. We have the third servant. Why don't you step back? Why don't you come on over here, Mr. Pritchard? All right. We got the third servant here. We get that right? Yep, the third servant in verse number 20. It says, another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I've kept laid up in a napkin. Okay. I'll say it. You just get the napkin part, okay? Here we go. Ready? He says, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I've kept laid up in a...
napkin.
A napkin. He goes on to say, for I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up, thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. What did that sound like to you? Oh, you're exactly right. You know, one of the mottos of our Bible school programs that we have in Papua New Guinea, at least in our ministry, our motto is this, no excuses. Amen. Boy, I teach them about Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin said, he that is able to make one excuse will never lack for another. Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
Yes, sir.
Boy, if you're in the practice of pulling out an excuse, you'll just keep on finding them. They'll be everywhere. So don't even get in the habit of making an excuse. This guy gave an excuse. He says, Lord, boy, I think he's excited, by the way. Up at the judgment seat, he says, Lord, here is thy pound. I didn't lose it. I still have it. I've got it for you. It's laid up in a napkin. And all of a sudden, he sees his Lord's countenance change. And he says, thou what? Wicked servant. Shame on you. You knew all this. And you still did that? Back in Matthew 25, I think it's 25, it says that he buried it in the earth. You know, a lot of Christians do, they take the talent that God's given them, the pound, the ability, the opportunity that God's given them, and they go ahead and throw it off in the world and just leave it there. They just put it in the world. Boy, you got some people that God's given them a good voice, and what do? They go adulterate it out in the world. They sing for the world. You got some of God's people who God's gifted them with the ability to make money. What do? They go build a big house. They say, well, I've got so much money, I got to build a bigger one. Sounds like something in the Bible where God says, thou fool, this day thy soul shall be required of thee. Are we okay? That's the word of God. We've got some Christians, boy, God's given them ability to communicate. Some of us are not very good at it. We're working very hard and trying to yield to the Lord and submit to him in this area. But some of you are very good at communicating, very good with kids, but you take that gift and you don't apply it for the Lord. You just hold on to it. And the Lord one day may say, hey, thou wicked servant. Shame on you. Shame on you. He goes on to say this. Take from him the pound. Is that rough or what? He didn't say, hey, can I have that back? He didn't say that. He said, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath, I'll take the napkin out of here, okay? Chipotle. And give it to him that had 10 pounds. And everybody says, come on, here we go. Lord, he hath 10 pounds. This ain't right. Taking from the poor and giving to the rich, that ain't right. Huh? Well, we're hearing a lot of preaching about that on the Democratic side, aren't we? We got to take from that rich man and give it to the poor man. Wait a minute. God says take from him and give it to him because, hey, he's not going to do anything with it. Yeah. Give it to this guy who's going to go out. He's going to go make me another 10. Amen. Wow. Why do we do what we do? Find with me, please, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Why don't you stand over there again? And I'm almost done with you. Not quite yet. You're doing very well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Boy, the Lord gives a rebuke to this guy. Thou wicked servant. I find this person right here, this person represents someone who does nothing of eternal value with his life. Boy, they've got something they do, but nothing of eternal value. Boy, Steve Jobs, man, what? Man, they've changed the world. Bill Gates, boy, he's changed the world. But he's got nothing in heaven for that. Are you hearing me now tonight? Nothing in heaven for that. Does nothing of eternal value. Notice with me 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to get back to Luke, and we'll be done here in just a few minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 9 is where we're going, but I like this chapter. It's about confidence. In verse number 1, he says, "For we know." Verse number 6, therefore we are always confident. Verse number 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Verse number 9, wherefore, for that reason, we labor. Are you there with me? Yep. We labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Do you know why we work for Jesus? Do you know why we do that? The right motivation, let me say it that way. The right motivation of why we do what we do, that we may please him. The reason why we go to New Guinea is not so someone can stand up and clap for you for 3 minutes. That's not why we do that. That is a very shallow excuse that doesn't last very long once you get there. No one on that side is clapping for you, friend. If you don't do what you do for Jesus' sake, my friend, it's going to be miserable. Miserable. He says, verse number 10, we labor, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. My friend, we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day and give an account. Do you know why your pastor has a soul winning program here? He has it so that you might be able to bear fruit. That one day when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you'll have something to offer your Savior for the breath that he gave you. It's a gift. Boy, it's a blessing that you're in a church like this that has a program that says, hey, let's go soul winning. Amen. Hey, let's try to fill the house up, amen? It pleases the Lord when the Father's house is full. Why do we have a Sunday school program? To help us develop our gifts for the Lord Jesus, to teach the next generation. A stewardship program, an opportunity to come to the altar. Why? You know, not every church has an opportunity to surrender to the will of God. Boy, that third servant, he's in trouble. When the Lord returns, he's going to feel ashamed, and he should feel ashamed. The master entrusted him with something precious, and he, as it were, buried it. He did nothing with it. The servant explained, he says, that he feared the master, and that the master was responsible for his lack of fruit. You know, Christian, when we say, I fear God, he didn't fear God, he feared man. He feared himself. He feared failure. The number one thing that keeps us from serving the Lord or doing what he's asked us to do or called us to do is fear. Is that about right? Amen. Brother, sister, can I admit something to you? I'm still scared to knock on a door. I don't go up to a door and say, hey, man, I'm glad to see you today. Do you know Jesus? I don't do that. But I go up there with fear and trembling. You don't believe me. I go up there with fear and trembling, but I do it because I love the Lord. I want to be obedient. I don't want that person to go to hell because I wasn't willing to knock on their door. Wow, let's look at the application, and we're done tonight. All right, God bless you guys. You can be seated. Let me encourage you with that $1 that you received. Why don't you write the word occupy till I come on it and frame it? All right, God bless you. Look around. Look at these two guys. Boy, We would say in Pidgin, Amamasi stop, old time. These guys are happy. But this guy over here, did you see how he went that way? It's like, oh, man, why did I pick up that napkin? Should have gave it to somebody else. I should have just left it. Do you know when we go before the judgment seat, it's going to be like that.
Yeah.
It's going to be like that. These guys, man, praise the Lord, man, I was faithful. I didn't know how to do much, but I was faithful with what God gave me, amen. Well, every one of us could do what that guy did, just hide it in a napkin. We all could do that, but it takes a little courage and trust to go off and do something for the Lord. Let's look at the application. Jesus has told us to go ye into all the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He tells us here in our passage back there in Luke chapter 19, he says to occupy till I come. The word occupy, where it is, the word occupy is a militaristic term. It means to take control of by conquest, which means you got to go after it.
Yep.
It's not something we say, hey, everybody out there, come in. Boy, your voice is only going to go so far. But he says, man, if you're going to win the battle, you can't win it in a defensive posture. If you're going to win the battle, you've got to win it in the offensive posture. You've got to go after it. When I was in junior high, I used to run a bit of cross country. I can barely run across the platform anymore. But anyways, I used to run cross country. And I remember, boy, how do you run? We run like this. Is that right? But you don't last very long running like that. I was running last week and I wanted to quit. And I remember what my coach said. He said, lean forward. If you're leaning forward, you're just kind of falling on those. Don't quit. Don't quit. That's kind of like what it is in the Christian life, friend. Just lean forward. Get in the offensive, not in the defensive.
Yep.
You're like this. You're just ready to sit down. Don't do that. Boy, lean forward. I don't want to use the word instinct. What's the right word there? What God has put in us, the spirit of survival, we will put the next foot forward.
Yes.
Amen. You just keep on going forward. God's given us a call to go into all the world. He's told us to occupy till I come. That means to take control of by conquest. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says this. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all these places, the uttermost part. He's told us to occupy all of it. Go everywhere with the gospel. Hear me. How can we apply that to ourselves? He's told us to go to our country, our city. This place right here, Lord willing, in 2 months' time, my family and I are going to get on a plane and we're going to go back to Papua New Guinea and try to occupy that place till he comes. You're going to stay here. My friend, we've got to occupy this country. This is your job. This is your. If God hasn't called you to go, he's called you to stay and he's called you to get busy. Let's do something. Occupy our country, our city. Hey, my friend, our community. Your neighbor right next door needs your hand to knock on their door. You know, the two scariest people in the world to witness to or to invite to church would be family and what? And neighbors. Isn't that true? Why is that? Because they know us, don't they? They heard you screaming at the kids and kicking the dog and they saw what was in the trash can yesterday. Huh? They know us, and that's why, no, I don't want to go over there. They know me too well. They know I'm not St. Peter. There wasn't a St. Peter anyway. They know you're not that way. You could just go, hey, I'm your neighbor, and I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm going to heaven when I die, and I want you to come too. Amen? But hey, my friend, our community is our responsibility. Hey, young people, your class, you're little missionaries. You go to your classroom this week. If you don't attend school here, you attend school somewhere. My friend, your classmates, your responsibility. That's the gift that God's given you. Your sphere of ministry right there. I can't go there. You can go there. Go there with the gospel. Hey, parents, adults, that career, you're not there to make $1 million to have a big old fat house. You're there to make $1 million, and man, you dump it in the bank of heaven, my friend. If you've got the right mindset on this thing, are we okay? You talk about money, people get nervous. But my friend, that's a gift that God's given. Some people, God's given the gift to make money. But that gift to make money is not to hoard it upon ourselves. It's to say, God, what can I do with this? This is a tool. Some years ago, my wife, she's asking me some question at I forget what time of the day it was. Anyways, she was asking me this question about money. She goes, What are your thoughts about money? And I just said it like this. Money's a tool. Money's a tool. I'm not greedy for it. I'm not covetous for it, but I count it as precious, just like my hammers, just like my nails, my guns, my, you know, all these things in my tool room, my sawmill, my well drilling machine, all these things, these are tools to be used for the Lord. My friend, we got to look at that $1 right there. That leads to a million. That's a tool. How can I invest that? How can I make that thing go further? My friend, your career, not only the people there, but Lord, brethren, the whole idea, the skill that God's given you there, use it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Use it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at, lastly, if you're fine with me, Luke chapter 19 and verse number 28. Luke 19 and verse number 28. Jesus had given this parable to them. They wanted to make him king. And he says, guys, I haven't come to be king. I came to be a savior. So he gives them this parable. And then what did we say? 18? Verse 28. The Bible says that when he had thus spoken, in other words, when he had said that, he went before, he led the way, ascending up to Jerusalem. Why was he going to Jerusalem? He was going to the cross. You see, that was the Father's will for him, wasn't it? The Father's will for him was to go to that cross. Aren't you glad he was faithful to do the Father's will? Amen. To go to that cross. I heard this saying many years ago. He says, Jesus gave both his hands to the nails. Picture that. Jesus gave both his hands to the nails. How then can I keep back one of mine from serving him? That doesn't make any sense. Lord, I'll give you one. I'll give you my left. I know my right hand's stronger, but I'll give you my left because the right, that's for me. Wait a minute, friend, don't do that. Jesus gave both his hands. Let's give both our hands to the work. I was preaching in the market there in Daru, and I gave an invitation at the end of the message there, open air market. Gave an invitation and several men came forward. One of our men, Brother Tommy, I spoke to him on the phone yesterday. Brother Tommy there sitting with the white shirt. Brother Tommy saw this guy with the blue hat come forward. So Brother Tommy gets him and they sit down together right there in the sunshine. Tommy opens up his New Testament and begins to lead this man to the Lord. Can you put a price tag on that right there? It's not in vain, friend. Whatever sacrifice you make for the Lord Jesus, whether you say, you know what? Hey, friend, I didn't say it earlier, but it's just kind of people laugh about it. I was going to play in the NBA. I mean, that was my focus. I was going to do that. I'm telling you, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, man, I was practicing. I was going to be the next guy, the white guy, the short guy. Whew, that was going to be me. Magic Johnson, man, he was my hero, man, purple and gold all the way. But then God gave me a call on March 25, 1992, to be a preacher. I'm glad I surrendered to that because that dream, it was going to be a nightmare. Amen? It wasn't going to go anywhere. Young people, the best thing you can do with your life is just to say, Lord, here it is. Lord, what do you want me to do? Man, I'm telling you, it's been a thrill. It's been a thrill. Jesus has called us to occupy till I come. Are you doing that? Let's all stand together tonight. Stand together with me. The time is short. The time is short. Jesus is coming back soon. Do you believe that? We believe that. He's coming back. Do you have anything to offer your Savior when he comes? So little time. The harvest will be ended. Father, tonight I pray that you bless the invitation tonight.